You know, it's my great pleasure right now to introduce to everybody a man who really needs no introduction.
Carl.
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 Carl. Dragon.
King.
Carl. I'm not calling the fans geeks. I'm not calling them rednecks, tobacco chewing nothing, because I've done all that myself.
Carl.
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 Carl. Dragon.
King. Carl.
In your dreams, you will see me.
Excuse me, please, let's don't talk negatively.
I'm going to win the title. I'm going to keep my money and buy me some good old Tennessee drinking whiskey with it.
Thank you for being such a great husband.
And this is for you, Fannie Mae. Solid gold, baby, just like you and me.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Dragon King Carl Classic Wrestling Audio Show, WrestlingObserver.com, Figure4Online.com. I am your host, Carl Stern. Thanks a lot for joining me here on the show. I apologize for those of you listening in real time. I had to postpone the show a week. I actually got very sick with COVID, come down with COVID. I actually am recording this at the time with COVID, so please ignore any coughs or hacks or wheezing. It's beyond my control, but the show must go on, as they say, and this is the 78th installment of the long-form history of pro wrestling. We're up to March of 1983, and as you know, as I talked about a few episodes ago, we're now into the time frame where the Wrestling Observer newsletter is being published on a monthly basis. Dave Meltzer's putting out the Wrestling Observer newsletter, and so the first issue of the Observer newsletter covered January through March of 1983. And so next episode, before we get to our next installment, the Long Form History of Wrestling, for my Patreon supporters over at whenitwascool.com, we will actually go through the April issue of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. And then I'll have any dates that are important that correlate to April included in the next month's show. So you get a bonus show if you're a Patreon supporter over at When It Was Cool, which is my website, which I hope you'll do. I would love to have you over there, love to see you there. And, hey, this is a great opportunity for you to catch up on the preceding 77 episodes covering the entire history of pro wrestling all the way back, even before the Pioneer era, into the Pioneer era, and up through every era of wrestling. There's so much talk about, so much misinformation. You know, recently there's been a kind of a controversy about Paul Levesque had said things about, Vince McMahon took wrestling, out of the bars and little arenas and finally presented mainstream wrestling when he came along. And, obviously that's completely and utterly untrue. But what is the real truth of it? Yeah, I've seen Matt Farmer, great wrestling historian, Dave Meltzer, obviously a great wrestling historian, and others, arguing the minutia of this point online. And what is the real story? Well, if you go back through this series, Long Form History of Pro Wrestling, you'll know it. You'll know every bit of it. So let's get into today's show. We're going to March of 1983. And if you'd like to check along with the script of this show, so to speak, go to whenitwascool.com. While you're there, bookmark that page. And then let's go to our zones. You're going to go to the Ultimate History of Pro Wrestling zone. You're going to go down then to the year 1983. And then scroll down to March with me. And I've got one magazine I've already included there, the cover of. I've got others. This is a work in progress, obviously. It's going to take forever to – this project will never be completed. Stuff will be continually added to it. I've got more stuff. I just haven't, had time to put in there as I continue to work on all of this. But I've got a cover of The Wrestler magazine. That was at the time a quarterly magazine being put out by what – we call lovingly the Apter magazines. It's actually, of course, the Victory Sports series, the Weston magazines. Bill Apter was just the face of that. The Wrestler would become a monthly magazine here pretty soon, but right now it's a quarterly magazine. It's the Best of the Wrestler. Cover has Ivan Putski against Greg the Hammer Valentine. And this, the stuff covered in this March of 1983 issue of The Wrestler would actually have taken place in late 1982. The magazines, of course, ran a few months behind. And also on the cover, it says, why does Ivan Putski why Ivan Putski had to do Dusty Rhodes' dirty work. So this is just a worked article, about behind the scenes of this worked feud at the time. It says also how Paul Jones turned Ric Flair into a hero. And there's a name that's been in the news even recently with the Ric Flair's last match ever. So even back then, obviously, Flair's a huge star at the point in time we're talking about here. Bruno Sammartino, greatest sports legend. And Bruno was, he had largely had his career by this point. He was transitioning into out-of-the-ring stuff. He would still, had several matches ahead of him. But he was transitioning into the announcer role, kind of the sports legend type role. Then Ernie Ladd, we have a quote, Bob Backlund is paying me to destroy Andre. Of course, obviously, that's a worked article there. March the 1st, 1983, at the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis, Tennessee, in front of 4,573 fans. And remember, for the Ultimate History Pro Wrestling Zone, our criteria, we got to draw the line somewhere, is any historically significant moment in wrestling history, things like title changes, things like births, deaths, transitions, major in-ring or out-of-the-ring news stories, and any wrestling card that drew 5,000 or more people. So this falls just under our criteria. And one of the things I've talked about so many times in the series is Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis, Tennessee. You hear a lot of hype about it. 10,000, 11,000 people. It's actually around 10,500 what the Mid-South Coliseum held. All the time, every time. And that was, in fact, not true. The Mid-South Coliseum had a very variable attendance. It would range in, from a sellout to half full in, 2 weeks' time. Here it's just under half full, but we got a title change on this show. We've been talking for quite a while about Bobby Eaton, future Midnight Express member, being part of a really great tag team with Coco Ware, who this time is wrestling as the Memphis version of Sweet Brown Sugar. They have split up and are feuding over the Mid-America title, and this is the blow-off to their feud. Bobby Eaton defeats Sweet Brown Sugar in a loser-leave-town match to win the Mid-America championship. On March 3rd, 1983, we're going to go to Auckland, New Zealand, and I want you to listen, you hear many supposed legendary stories. Oh, we wrestled 400 matches a year and things like that. You hear, it sounds like a lot of hyperbole and whatever. But make no mistake, the NWA World Heavyweight Champion had a ridiculously insane travel schedule. In just a few days' span of time, we're going to follow NWA World Champion Ric Flair all the way from a tour of New Zealand back to the United States in just a span of a few days. Here on March 3rd, 1983, Ric Flair beats Mark Lewin to retain the NWA title in Auckland, New Zealand. There's a brawl after the match, and Lewin leaves ringside with the title belt. Also on March 3rd, 1983, WWF champion Bob Backlund defeats the Intercontinental champion Don Morocco in Monica, Pennsylvania. And also on March 3rd, 83, AWA World Champion Nick Bockwinkel defeated Hulk Hogan by disqualification in Winnipeg, Canada. So all three of your major world championships are defended one March day here in 1983 in a variety of places. March 4th, 1983, going back to New Zealand for Ric Flair's tour, NWA World Champion Ric Flair continues his tour of New Zealand this time. His opponent is the promoter and wrestler Steve Rickard. In Hamilton, New Zealand, he defeats Steve Rickard. March 5th, 1983. Listen to this travel schedule now. On March 4th, 1983, Ric Flair is in New Zealand. On March 5th, the very next day, he goes from one side of the world to the other as he wrestles at the TBS studios in Atlanta, Georgia, beating Denny Brown. So, yeah, just all the way around the world. Thank God for that international dateline, I guess, or it would otherwise be impossible. Time travel almost have to be involved there. Also on March 5th, 1983, WWF is in San Diego, California. They draw 5,000 people. And it's the first WWF show in the Bay Area. So they're already, now remember, Hulkamania era doesn't even start for several months now. Hulk Hogan's not going to win the WWF heavyweight championship until January, but here they're expanding all the way to the San Diego area. First card over there. Jack Armstrong fought Great Yatsu to a draw. This is Yoshiaki Yatsu from Japan. Blackjack Mulligan defeated Billy Anderson. Pat Patterson defeated Jerry Monty. Buddy Rose defeated Tony Garea. The WWF Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco beat Jules Strongbow. Chief J. Strongbow defeated Black Gordman. Pedro Morales defeated superstar Billy Graham by DQ. Andre the Giant won a handicap match over Mr. Fuji and Alexis Smirnoff. And the WWF Champion Bob Backlund defeated Ray Stevens. And Andre the Giant won a 17-man battle royal. Now, it's interesting. I want you to look early on, and WWF really quit doing this in the 1980s. You would think as they expanded their national takeover when they would come geographically to your hometown, if they had some of your hometown stars, they would feature them prominently. And many times they did. I'm not saying that at all, but it seemed like they got less and less detail-oriented in that. Whereas here in San Diego, their first show in the area, look at how many California area talents they're using. People like Jack Armstrong, Billy Anderson, Buddy Rose, and, of course, Ray Stevens being in the main event, Black Gordman. I mean, so there's several here that obviously they would otherwise, if this show were being held in New Hampshire, these personalities wouldn't be on there. So it's kind of interesting. It's something they really, in this era, as they're expanding, started out really paying attention to, but kind of became less and less as time went on. March 6, 1983, the Wild Samoans, Afan Sika, managed by Captain Lou Albano, defeated Jules and Chief J. Strongbow to win the WWF Tag Team titles in Los Angeles, California. Thank goodness we finally get the belts off Jules and J. Strongbow, one of the most boring teams I think I've ever seen in my life. The Wild Samoans at least have personality and are interesting. And so there's your big title change in Los Angeles as, again, they continue a West Coast tour. March 7th, 1983, we go to my home territory. I was definitely a big fan of wrestling at this time, and this is the era of heel Bob Armstrong. I do a podcast for my Patreons bi-weekly over at whenitwascool.com called the Heel Mustache Podcast. That is named after Bob Armstrong's heel run, and so we get to talk about him here for a second. March 7, 1983, Bob Armstrong defeats Jimmy Golden, who's a babyface at this time, to win the NWA Southeastern title in Birmingham, Alabama, in a Texas death match. Also on that same show, Mr. Olympia, who's Jerry Stubbs, won a tournament to get a shot at the NWA World Champion Ric Flair. And Mr. Olympia just returned to the area after doing a very well-known, very famous stint down in Mid-South with Junkyard Dog and so forth. And he's going to be splitting his time somewhat in 1983 between Mid-South, Bill Watts, and Ron Fuller Southeastern Wrestling. So a lot of great things are going on. Unfortunately, we don't really have great attendance figures for this era, or we'd include more in it. And maybe once Ron Fuller gets up to this era on his Studcast podcast, a lot of times he includes attendance figures for these shows. Now, how worked he is with his stuff, I don't know, but seems like he's at least in the general range with most of his attendance figures, so we'll have to see. Maybe we can add some more stuff as we go along. Now, this is Monday night. We also know Monday night is wrestling night in Memphis, Tennessee, so let's go up the road to Memphis. And they're back over the 5,000 mark up there at the Mid-South Coliseum, 5,657 people. Going to see Jim Dalton beat Sabu. No, not that Sabu. This is Coco Samoa by DQ. Terry Taylor and Ricky Morton are teaming together, and they went to a draw with the Galaxians. And the Galaxians are your future nightmares. We'll be talking a lot about the nightmares as we go through the 80s, Ken Wayne and Danny Davis. Dutch Mantel pinned Jerry Roberts. That's Jacques Rougeau's Deep South name as he wrestles periodically in the southern United States. I think he went, occasionally on vacation down here. He would work Memphis. He would work Ron Fuller, Southeastern Wrestling. He would eventually just go by Jacques Rougeau. I don't know why he had, thought he had to be Jerry Roberts down here for a while, but he loses a loser leave town match, so it must be time to return to Canada, losing to Dutch Mantel. Bill Dundee and Steve Osnowski beat the Sheep Herders, Jonathan Boyd, Luke Williams, in a back alley street brawl match. Coco Ware's back. Yes, he lost a loser leave town match, a Sweet Brown Sugar. So you say, well, that didn't last long. No, it didn't. He's back under a mask, under a different name, Stagger Lee. Yes, he's doing the exact same Junkyard Dog gimmick they had done down in Mid-South Wrestling. So Coco Ware has the distinction of being not the real Sweet Brown Sugar. Yeah, that was done down in Florida and World Class with Skip Young. And he's also not the real Stagger Lee, which was, of course, Junkyard Dog. He's a knockoff version of both. You know, God bless Jerry Jarrett. But Stagger Lee beat Bobby Eaton to win the Mid-America title. Had to see that coming. Southern Tag Team Champions, the Fabulous Ones, Steve Kern and Stan Lane, beat Adrian Street and Jesse Barr. And finally, Jerry Lawler pinned Austin Idol to win the CWA International title, which was kind of their big championship belt at that time. March 8th, 1983, this era's version of the Fabulous Kangaroos, who are Don Kent and Johnny Heffernan, defeat Terry Allen, the future Magnum TA, and Scott McGee to win the global tag team titles down in Tampa, Florida. Also on March the 8th of 83, AWA, Salt Lake City, Utah. Attendance is 10,400 people. Yes, a good draw there by the AWA. They drew well for a long time in Salt Lake City, even when the rest of the promotion was dropping off. Salt Lake City and Denver seemed to draw well. And Baron Von Raschke beats Bobby Heenan by countout. Fabulous Moolah defeats Sabrina. And Jerry Lawler defeated John Tolos. Jesse Ventura defeated Hulk Hogan by disqualification. The High Flyers, Jim Brunzell and Greg Gagne, and Mad Dog Vachon team up to defeat Sergeant Jacques-René Goulet and Sheik Adnan LKC and their partner Jerry Blackwell. March the 11th, 1983, Chavo Guerrero defeated the AWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Bockwinkel by DQ at the Sam Houston Coliseum in Houston, Texas. Also on the show, Tiger Conway Jr. and Mr. Wrestling 2. Yes, Johnny Walker defeated Ted DiBiase and Matt Bourne to win the Mid-South Tag Team titles. Also on March 11, 1983, Jim Crockett Promotions is in Hampton, Virginia. With an attendance of 5,000 people, the NWA World Champion Ric Flair beats Dory Funk Jr. Roddy Piper beats Dick Slater. Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood won a tag team match, although I don't know who their opponents are. The paper doesn't say. And Terry Shane and Joyce Grable won a tag team match, also with opponents unknown. So we got an over 5,000 attendance card, but not much in the way of results from that out of a newspaper account. March 12th, 1983, a big show for Jim Crockett Promotion takes place in Greensboro, North Carolina at the Coliseum. Attendance is 15,547 people, an estimated 3,000 to 5,000 fans are turned away. Yes, you probably know what show we're talking about already. This is a legendary show. Results of the show: Jerry Briscoe defeated Ken Timms. Hey, the man who trained me, my mentor, gentleman Ken Timms, on that show. Mike Rotundo defeated Rick Harris. That's your future Black Bart. Jim Nelson, who would go on to become Boris Zukov, and Johnny Weaver defeated Red Dog Lane and Gene Anderson. Roddy Piper defeated Dick Slater but did not win the Mid-Atlantic TV title, as the time limit for the title portion of the match had expired. Remember, the TV title, you just had 10 minutes to win the title, and then if it ran over that, the title wasn't at stake. NWA World Heavyweight Champion Ric Flair battled NWA U.S. Champion Greg Valentine to a one-hour draw, and then the match that drew this big show, obviously Ric Flair and Greg Valentine were part of the draw as well, but the main event, steel cage match, Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood defeated the NWA World Tag Team Champions Sergeant Slaughter and Don Kernodle in a no time limit steel cage match to win the titles. All right, so it's a huge show there. On the same day, we're continuing to talk about March the 12th, 1983, on Southeastern Championship Wrestling TV show from Dothan, Alabama television studio. The Mongolian Stomper turns heel on Austin Idol in an angle that was known as the cure for Idol Mania. This is where the Mongolian Stomper was a hired hitman for NWA champion Ric Flair, severely injuring Austin Idol. That's what leads to this this deal with Mr. Olympia getting the title shot instead. A big, big angle that's going to lead to some huge stuff. This was Mongolian Stomper turning from babyface to heel and will end up joining, of all things, the Midnight Express stable. So, big angle there in Southeastern. Also, March 12th, 83, WWF has two shows on this date. And an evening show in Landover, Maryland at the Capitol Center. Eddie Gilbert and Tony Gurria defeat Mr. Fuji and Sweet Hansen. Pedro Holmes, I have no idea who that is. Pedro Holmes, don't know that name, defeated Johnny Rods. Ray Stevens defeated SD Jones. Rocky Johnson defeated Baron Mikel Cicluna. Pete Sanchez went to a draw with Jose Estrada. Big John Studd defeated Chief J Strongbow. Jimmy Snuka defeated superstar Billy Graham in a Texas death match. Andre the Giant won a battle royal, the participants of which was most everybody else on the card there, pretty much. I throw in a Charlie Fulton and other people like that, too. And WWF champion Bob Backlund defeated the Intercontinental champion Don Morocco in a Texas death match. At a WWF afternoon show in Baltimore, Maryland, Wild Samoan Sika suffers a broken hip in a tag team match. Remember, they're the WWF tag team champions, have just won the belts, and he breaks a hip. So what happens, he's replaced for a time period by the Samoan number three, and that is Samula. So on television, the injury was never addressed, and old matches of the Samoans played instead, and they continued their run as WWF tag team champions. So really, it's never even brought up. That you never know any different if you're just following on television. On the same show, Big John Studd defeated WWF champion Bob Backlund by DQ. On March the 13th, 1983, AWA is in St. Paul, Minnesota. We got Steve Regal battle Buck Zumhoff to a draw. Kurt Hiddink beat Sergeant Rene Goulet. Brad Reagans beat John Tolos. Sheik Adnan LKC and Jerry Blackwell beat Mad Dog Vachon and Baron Von Rachke. Hulk Hogan and Greg Gagne and Jim Bronzel beat the trio of Bobby Heenan, Ken Patera, and Jesse Ventura, and the AWA World Champion Nick Bockwinkel beat Rick Martel. But Rick Martel's time is going to be coming soon. Finally, for the first half of the show here, March 14, 1983, we'll go to World Class. Yes, let's go down to Texas, to Fort Worth, Texas, Will Rogers Coliseum. We've got 8,000 people there, the largest crowd in Fort Worth wrestling history up to this point. King Kong Bundy defeats the Texan, who has amassed Jake Roberts. Little Coco defeats Billy the Kid. Jimmy Garvin beats Brian Adias. Iceman Parsons defeats Killer Carl Krupp. Ken Mantell defeats Bill Irwin. The Great Kabuki defeats Tola Yatsu, and that is Yoshiaki Yatsu doing a tour of the United States. Wins that match by DQ. And the main event, your world-class six-man tag team champions, the Fabulous Freebirds, Buddy Roberts, Michael Hayes, and Terry Gordy, beat the Von Erichs, David Von Erich, Kerry Von Erich, and Kevin Von Erich. All right, let's take our mid-show break. Come back. We'll talk of the second half of the month of March 1983 right here on the Dragon King Carl Classic Wrestling Audio Show brought to you by WrestlingObserver.com, Figure4Online.com, and as I'm about to tell you about, WhenItWasCool.com.
We depend on Patreon support for our website and podcast network. In order to continue these podcasts you enjoy, we need you to visit WhenItWasCool.com and pledge at least $1. You'll gain access to lots of exclusive podcasts, newsletters, and more. Sign up is quick, simple, and can be canceled at any time. WhenItWasCool.com and click any Patreon link. Thank you.
We really need and would love for you to become a Patreon supporter over at When It Was Cool. We got a lot of big things coming up. Maybe you've already heard about one of the biggest things to happen to us for a while. I can't really say anything about it yet because of the day I'm taping it. Still hasn't dropped. But I'm anticipating any time big things happening for When It Was Cool. You'll know it when you see it. Be sure to follow us on social media. All of our social media links are on the front page of whenitwascool.com. We've got a new Twitter address, by the way, if many of you that used to follow us haven't migrated over yet. So I hope you'll go to whenitwascool.com and see our new Twitter address and follow us from there. Be greatly appreciated. So let's talk the latter half of March 1983. March 17, 1983, Frank Dusick defeats Barry Windham to win the Southern heavyweight title, the Florida version, on TV in Tampa, Florida. Yeah, kind of ill-advised, right? I mean, Frank Dusick beating Barry Windham for the Florida title in 83, it seems a little out of place, and I don't think it does very well, really. March 18, 1983, WWF has two shows, one in Steubenville, Ohio, where they have 6,500 people, who will see Jose Estrada beat Bill Dixon, Salvatore Bellomo beats Mac Rivera, Jimmy Snuka pins Ray Stevens, superstar Billy Graham pinned Pete Sanchez, Baron Mikhail Cicluna beat Joe Abbey, and the tag team of Rocky Johnson and Andre the Giant defeated Wild Samoan Alpha and his replacement for Sika in this match is Captain Lou Albano by countout. Now, WWF is also in Boston, Massachusetts at the Boston Garden. Attendance is 16,174 for this show. Looks like Jose Estrada somehow makes both shows. I find that very, very dubious and very doubtful, so probably not, but I have Jose Estrada defeating Pete Doherty. Pete Sanchez defeats Baron Mikhail Cicluna. Tony Gurria beat Fred Marcino. Chief J. Strongbow defeated Lou Albano. I guess we got Lou Albano on both shows here, too, so maybe they caught a flight or something. I don't know. Iron Mike Sharp defeated SD Jones. WWF Champion Bob Backlund defeated Don Morocco. Yeah, Rocky Johnson on this show, too, so that'll be one. Must have caught a flight or something over there. I don't see how it's really possible, geographically possible to do this, but Rocky Johnson defeated superstar Billy Graham. Andre the Giant, again, both shows, defeated Big John Studd. Ray Stevens defeated Jules Strongbow, and Johnny Roz defeated the Samoan number three, who again is Samu. March the 19th, 1983, WWF's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania at the Spectrum. So we have Ray Stevens battles Jules Strongbow to a double countout. Bob Backlund, Andre the Giant, Jimmy Snuka beat Big John Studd, Samoan Afa, and Lou Albano. SD Jones beats Baron Mikhail Cicluna. Jose Estrada beats Pete Sanchez, and Don Morocco beats Rocky Johnson. March 20th, 1983, so this is your monthly Madison Square Garden show for the WWF. Good attendance for this one. New York City, 26,109. And remember, over at When It Was Cool and here at Wrestling Observer, we're doing a series on the history of pro wrestling at Madison Square Garden. So if you're interested in that, do check that out. Mac Rivera beats Baron Mikhail Cicluna. Tony Gurria beats Johnny Roz. SD Jones beats Jose Estrada. Poncho Boy and Sonny Boy Hayes defeat Farmer Pete and Butch Cassidy. This card, like many WWF undercards, is absolutely terrible. Superstar Billy Graham, who's managed by the Grand Wizard, beats Jules Strongbow. Salvatore Bellomo battled Ray Stevens to a double countout. Can you believe such a thing? WWF Champion Bob Backlund defeated Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco in a Texas death match. Andre the Giant, Rocky Johnson, and Jimmy Snuka beat Big John Studd, Alpha, and Captain Lou Albano in a 3 out of 5 falls match. And I believe that match was on one of the compilation tapes they used to put out by Coliseum Home Video, if I remember right. I know I've at least seen this on the WWE Network at some point in time. All right, the Omni in Atlanta, is my voice is just barely hanging in there, and I know it. Just stick with me. We'll get there. March 20th, 1983, the Omni in Atlanta. Killer Tim Brooks beats Paul Orndorff to win the NWA National title. Now, this is the one that Tim Brooks will end up, quote, selling to Larry Zbyszko on TV. And, of course, the NWA doesn't allow it. That was a well-known angle back in that day. But this is the match where he won it. Tommy Rich beats Larry Zbyszko in a singles match. Canadian lumberjack match, Stan Hansen and the Masked Superstar, Bill Eady defeated Ole Anderson and Buzz Sawyer. Dick Murdoch defeated Ivan Koloff by DQ. Tony Atlas defeated the Iron Sheik. Brad Armstrong and Ray Candy teamed together to beat Paul Ellering and Moondog Rex. Brett Sawyer battled Joe Lightfoot to a draw. And Brian Blair defeated Chick Donovan. Also on March 20th, 1983, AWA is in Denver, Colorado. Hulk Hogan battled Jesse Ventura to a no contest. Jerry Lawler over in Denver beats Ken Patera. Brad Reagans beats John Tolos. High Flyers, Greg Gagne and Jim Brunzel beat Sheik Adnan LKC and Jerry Blackwell. And the AWA heavyweight champion, Nick Bockwinkel, beats Rick Martel. March 21st, 83 in Memphis. Our attendance for this show is 6,162. Sonny King beat Carl Fergie. Duke Myers beats Bobby Fulton, future member of the Fantastics. Steve O beats Jonathan Boyd. The Rock and Roll Express. Yes, that's that Rock and Roll Express. Early days of the Rock and Roll Express. Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson beat the Galaxians, who we talked about being the future nightmares. Ken Wayne, Danny Davis by DQ. The Sheep Herders, Jonathan Boyd, Luke Williams, along with Adrian Street and Jesse Barr, beat the Fabulous Ones, Steve Kern, Stan Lane, who are teaming with Steve O and Dutch Mantell. Bill Dundee pins Terry Taylor to win the Southern title. Stagger Lee, which this version again, Coco Ware and Jerry Lawler and Andre the Giant beat Porkchop Cash, Mad Dog, and Bobby Eaton. March 21st, 1983, going back down to the Mid-South Coliseum, or excuse me, Mid-South Wrestling, Bill Watts. This is a North American title tournament in New Orleans, Louisiana. And remember, I just talked about Mr. Olympia's been working over in Southeastern for Ron Fuller. Well, he's about to also get a huge push over in Mid-South. And, you know, Mr. Olympia, Jerry Stubbs, I don't think ever gets really the credit. He deserves, nobody ever really talks about him in terms of one of the top players in Mid-South wrestling. But, man, he's got a great 1982 and 1983. You got a lot of great Mr. Olympia action on here. So we our tournament for the North American title, and spoiler alert, Mr. Olympia is going to win it and turn heel. Mr. Olympia, Jerry Stubbs beats Marty Lundy. That's the future Arn Anderson and the guy who later in the year he'll be feuding with in Southeastern Wrestling, who will be working under a mask of the name Super Olympia. So that's all formulating starting right here. They're all going to end up in Southeastern by year's end. Mr. Wrestling 2, Johnny Walker beat Bill Irwin. Butch Reed defeated the Super Destroyer. That would be, I got Scott Irwin here, but I think it's going to be Bill Irwin. Tito Santana beat Matt Bourne. In round 2, Mr. Wrestling 2 battled Kamala to a double DQ. Butch Reed beat Jim Duggan. Kendo Nagasaki, the Japanese version, defeated Tito Santana by countout. Junkyard Dog beat Ted DiBiase. Round 3, Mr. Olympia beat Butch Reed, and Junkyard Dog beat Kendo Nagasaki. Lead to your finals, where Mr. Olympia turns heel, defeating Junkyard Dog to win the vacant North American title. All right, March 23rd, 1983, Scott McGee beats Johnny Heffernan in Tampa, Florida on TV to win the vacant Florida title. March 24th, 1983, Hulk Hogan beats AWA champion Nick Bockwinkel by DQ with Wahoo McDaniel special guest referee in Winnipeg, Canada. The betting line right now, my voice is like 10 to 1. I'm not going to make it. Let's see what happens. March 25th, 1983. All Japan Pro Wrestling Carnival, Champion Carnival begins. Scheduled for the tour are, listen to this, just listen to this lineup. This is from the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Ric Flair, Nick Bockwinkel, Bruiser Brody, Stan Hansen, Harley Race, Dory Funk Jr., Terry Funk, Mil Máscaras, Jerry Lawler, Ted DiBiase, Paul Orndorff, Ivan Koloff, Alexis Smirnoff, Chavo Guerrero, Hector Guerrero, David Von Erich, Kerry Von Erich, Jimmy Snuka, Dynamite Kid, Dos Caras, Ron Bass, Dick Slater, Terry Gordy, and Michael Hayes. That is literally the who's who of pro wrestling from late 1982 into early 1993 there for the Champion Carnival. All right. March 26, 83, Jacksonville, Florida. Barry Windham beats Angelo Mosca to win the Canadian, I guess the Florida Canadian title. Whoever heard of such a thing? WWF's in Boston at the Boston Garden. Attendance is 16,147. I'm not even going to try to read all these results, but Bob Backlund beats Don Morocco in a Texas death match. That's your main event. Go to my website to read the rest of the results. I'm not going to be able to do it. March 27th, 83, Roddy Piper defeated the Mid-Atlantic TV champion Dick Slater in Asheville, North Carolina, to Civic Center to win the title. In Toronto, Canada, to Maple Leaf Gardens, Jim Nelson, our future Boris Zirkov, defeated Terry Kay to win the Canadian TV title on the same show. NWA champion Ric Flair beat Roddy Piper to retain the title. And the NWA World Tag Team Champions Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood retained against the former champions Don Kernodle and Sergeant Slaughter in a steel cage match. We're almost there. March 28, 1983, in Fort Worth, Texas, at the Civic Center, Iceman King Parsons defeated Tolayatsu for the world-class TV title. Green Bay, Wisconsin, Wahoo McDaniel beat AWA champion Nick Bockwinkel by DQ. In San Antonio, Texas, Tully Blanchard and Gino Hernandez beat the Grapplers, Lynn Denton and Tony Anthony, to win the Southwest tag team titles. Now, Tully hit Gino with the belt, and it was declared vacant. So, split up of that team there. March 29th, 1983, Sergeant Slaughter returns to the WWF. And this is going to be a big return, defeating Barry Hart, who is Barry Horowitz. Finally, yes, we did make it. March 30th, 1983, in Miami Beach, Florida, Terry Allen and Scott McGee defeated the Kangaroos, Don Kent, and Johnny Heffernan to win the global tag team titles. And so made it. My voice held out barely to the end. If you feel sorry for me, come become a Patreon supporter at When It Was Cool. Probably need it for doctor bills now. But anyway, thank you so much for listening. We did it. It took us 2 weeks, but we got there. And I'll see you soon here with another show.
WhenItWasCool.com is your source for the best in retro pop culture. When It Was Cool features articles and podcasts on retro TV and movies, toys, action figures, pro wrestling, food, video games, and more. Hit the Patreon button to support us and get instant access to hundreds of premium podcasts and features. Family friendly and fun. WhenItWasCool.com.